good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the news. I'm your genital waltz. No, wait a minute. That's what Amelia thought it said. I'm your genial host, Dick Chafing, and joining me tonight, we have our phalanx. I think that's the word. That is our regular set of presenters. We have the regularly attending, but decidedly irregular in shape and outlook on life, the irrepressible, I know, I'm tired, Harry Balzac!
Good evening, Dick, you wonderful bastard. You know what they say, you can't keep a good man down. But I admit that was a strange place to grow feathers.
I like the way I've made myself taller than you as well on the screen. Right, the presenter who's regularly close to our hearts, livers, and other internal organs, it's Wilma Fingadoo.
Thanks, Dick. Got any fava beans?
That's very unsettling. Moving swiftly on, the man who's regularly picked up by the fuzz, swung round by his let no no due to his work in an all nudist Velcro factory, Norma's other half, it's Lou Snookers.
Thanks, Dick.
You're welcome.
I apologise. I lost myself. You know I only took that job to keep my parole officer happy. And that joke's wearing thin. My temper's shorter than the queue to get in Van Taeyeon's gig.
Thank you. And last, but never least, the woman who is the dictionary definition of regular. Why, if she were any more regular, you'd see her on the side of a packet of Allbran. It's Norma Snookers!
Don't knock being regular. It's better than being full of, well, whatever it is that you are.
Well, I am. Well, I never. Fragland, the huttonest place on Earth. Apart from Hutton, of course. For 3 days only, though.
Gratitude with attitude for magnitude of servitude.
Captain's Dog, Stardate 3305.
It's a trial in the urban arena, but he's Gladiator.
Imperial Idler interviewee insists information inaccurate.
A postcard from Atrus.
Lou tells you what Alvin doesn't want you to do.
And Norma's our tipster. Yes, you heard right, tipster, for the Interstellar Initiative sweepstake.
It was a non-roller coaster of fun, it says on this piece of paper, written in Noctis' almost illegible scrawl, last weekend, as a planetary station close to the base owned by the Pilots Federation ran to the battle cries of many commanders assembling for mayhem and fun, in that order, arranged by commanders Noxy Vegas and Han Moore. This was not to be the usual winging up of commanders relying on smoke signals, electronic communications and follow-me projectors. Oh no, these commanders were going to launch all from the same location and at the same time. They would be able to look out of their cockpit and see their fellows. They'd be close up and personal, almost as if they could touch them. We've only been able to obtain accounts of the merest fraction of the events that transpired. That what happens in Fragland stays in Fragland motto being off-quoted to our reporters. However, we have been able to determine that the following events transpired. Chatterton Station was officially declared a desert, as all alcoholic beverages within the range of ever more unsteady space legs was converted to biowaste. The Pink Wafer itself, the future conveyance of Go-Go Sally, and sponsored by the Hutton Orbit Trucker, successfully docked, piloted by a commander, Noxy Vegas. He justified this, his personal use of the ship, with some piffle about keeping the barnacles off the thrusters. But we think he just likes being in the car. We suggest that Sally should check the cargo holds very carefully before she takes it on its long voyage next year. There was an incident of necromancy. If this is not, as you might think, getting all nuzzly with someone you like in the bit between the head and the shoulders, but is in fact communicating with the dead. Commander Stephen Usher managed to establish a connection to one of Commander Han Mo's previous lives as Commander Harry. No, not that one. Who was a contemporary of the legendary Commander Jameson. The economics of the galaxy were very different back in those days. Commander Harry was elite ranked, but with a balance of only 877 credits. Adjusting for galactic inflation, that is 2,769 credits in today's values, or a little less than 2% of a void opal. Last but by no means least, Commander Noctivagus took on a new role, or rather a new role, as he became the first person to successfully broadcast live from Cubicle 3. How he managed to broadcast while simultaneously holding his breath is a mystery that we are in no hurry to unravel.
We've always known that the Hotboxers were jolly nice, despite their bizarre lifestyle choices, and this was driven home this week. Driven, in fact, by Commander Shoreside Customs, who led a PWP assault on Commander Rampage 737, trucking, like a Hun trucker order, on behalf of Team Hotbox, Commander Shoreside Customs delivered a container full of tributes to their ex-leader. The thanks for a fantastic year's leadership, including a drink that was almost, but not entirely quite unlike, Centauri Mega Gin. Some coffee, not Hutton Blend, but you can have everything. The top halves of two orange jumpsuits, which the commander's name emblazoned thereupon. We understand that the jumpsuits came from America. We leave it to you to speculate as to who might have previously worn these. The crowning glory, the item that single-handedly justified all of the hours and hours of work that Commander Rampage 737 had poured into the melting pot, that is the mixed metaphor of Team Hotbox. There was an example of rare, unique goods, a one-of-a-kind, never-to-be-seen-elsewhere, officially approved orange Hutton mug. Individual, like an artisan bespoke single malt whiskey. Handcrafted from selected deck plates of the original orange Sidewinder, imbued with a semblance of life by the frameshift energies that flooded the ship during its many long trips to the orbital, this mug has a singular property, one not found in any other Hutton mug. Not only will this mug keep hot things hot, but it will also keep cold things cold. Commander Rampage 737 is, however, warned not to test this by trying to fill the mug with coffee and ice cream at the same time.
Commander the Mind Buddha sent us a vidcap this week, a lovely picture showing the inside of his cockpit and what we believe is known as his co-pilot, who was wearing a very fetching sparkly pink harness. It appears that the commander may have misunderstood the term beagle point and has interpreted it as an instruction, as his companion Princess looks to be very much aligned with the navigation array. Princess can always be relied on for help in the cockpit, especially when the commander needs to put three pups to shields, and even on planetary approaches, as we have heard that the Beagle has landed. We understand that she is on the lookout for love. She has placed her profile on several online dogging sites, keeps a photo of our very own Alvin Defia close to her heart.
This year's hottest television programme since The Federation's Most Wanted launched last weekend, with pilots throughout the galaxy tuning in on their downtime to watch a series of cruel and unusual tortures foisted on the rich and famous. I'm an Imperial, get me out of here, draw some of the highest viewing figures in the galaxy, all eager to watch hapless minor royals from the Empire work their way through a series of challenges before one is crowned King of the Urban Jungle. The Imperial contestants this year included Independent System game show host Psycho Cal, minor Imperial cousin and trade envoy Duke Frederick, known to many as Frameshift Freddy, and a host of C-list Galnet starlets. Will be subjected to revolting challenges, including the Hutton Trucker Top Tucker Challenge, where they've got to munch their way through a series of revolting meals normally reserved for citizens, colloquially referred to as plebs in the Empire, such as instant space noodles, McThargoids, McStiffies, and of course, the one that makes everyone gag, the rubbery 12-inch sub. Normally used to a refined diet of donkey testicles with truffle oil, Isinor sheep's eyes in Burnham bile distillate juice, and Thargoid sweetbreads, they're sure to find the fare hard to swallow. Last year's frightening scene showed the Imperial nobodies thrown into tanks of vicious Alliance accountants, edible poets, and fat black felines in nothing but their undergarments, togas being unsuitable for the urban jungle, and more than one cried, "I'm an Imperial, get me out of here!" after getting their hands dirty with manual labour. Who will win the ultimate prize? Who can survive without their butler and personal chef? Who looks absolutely horrendous without their daily anti-ageatics, performance enhancers and subdermal makeup? We will be bringing you all the horror stories over the coming weeks.
I'm an Imperial contestant, Frameshift Freddy, has been embroiled in the latest in a series of scandals related to his lavish lifestyle and links with disgraced businessman Eperites Jeffen, accused of being involved in an insurance scam relating to suicide winder trips between Colonia and the Bubble. Jeffen has constantly denied deliberately destroying his own ship and claimed that the establishment are out to get him. Further allegations are that his floating beluga gin palace, the Hillary, has been accused of being misused to host illegal cross-powder meetings, trade deal negotiations, and interstellar research, clearly in breach of its charter as a floating orgy venue. Frameshift Freddy has denied that he will ever meet Jeffen, definitely hasn't conducted business with him, and, as an alibi for the alleged work, claimed that his inability to blink as a result of involvement in the Lave Wars of 3304 meant that he wasn't able to focus on the complex paperwork due to his dry eyeballs. He also claims that the time he was accused of actually doing some work for a living instead of his appointed job, plying foreign dignitaries with drink until they signed contracts, he was with one with Brett Riverboat being a bit of a tosser. That's pizza tosser. Commander Riverboat's former employer, Calzone Emporium, over at Hutton, has been attracting rave reviews. The ultimate place to plot the downfall of the Empire. And 5 stars! That's how many star systems I bought whilst eating there. Freddy's alibi has since been debunked, and his family, a branch of the Imperial ruling class, have recalled him from all social duties. And he will be withdrawing from public life until such a time as he's properly debauched once again.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Haxwing, we continue to hold and wait to see what move Tharg will make next. Don't get complacent or rusty. Remember, Tharg is patient and will take his time. In the meantime, remember, there are still 70 stations out there that need repair. You can always check what station Operation Ida is focusing on at their GAO website, OperationIda.com. To see what supplies are needed, check the Thargoid report in Galnet. Or, you could be an absolute trucker like Commander Spartacus Ben. He decided on his own over the summer to start hauling supplies to Resnik Dock. He recently got it so close that those legends at Operation Ida decided to pitch in and finish off that last 50,000 tons of supplies, and today the station is fully operational. Way to go, trucker. I've personally declared my Sundays to be station support Sundays. The more we can do now during this pause the better prepared we will be for Tharg's next attack. Stay alert out there, watch the signal sources, and be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
End encrypted transmission.
Dear truckers, good evening, or whatever time it is where you're reading this. Atris 5060 writing. Wish you were here, as it's more than 100 days since the last real Thargoid attack, and the boffins at Cannon Research aren't answering my calls. I've decided to take a holiday out in the Pleiades for a nice rest. Mrs. 5060 and I promised each other a second honeymoon, but the nearest to a honeymoon we've seen recently is a yellow-brown rocky body. No doubt the moment our backs are turned, some disaster will occur, but to be frank at this point, I don't care. Let's see how the Thargoids like it when I ignore them for a change. I may send for more postcards if there are sights to see out here, but for now, it's for the mug. P.S. Love to Alvin. For the mug!
The bubble is extremely stable. A couple of systems are still over 60%. If you're a custodian of one of those systems, please call in the help. Apart from that, there's nothing of interest happening. We're definitely not one day away from controlling Hilparcy, because Elvin definitely does not sanction conflicts with other player factions, even when they are, as far as we can discern, completely inactive. So, although we've dominated 3 days, Alvin is not suggesting that you nip in and finish off the job. I know that in the absence of Thargoids there are commanders with itchy trigger fingers, but I can assure you that Alvin has not suggested at any time that we should progress this war, and even though we stand to lose an outpost, this does not change anything. In Colonia, pretty much everything goes into tier. Bounty hunting can be done in Eol Procol Centauri and Dariso, as long as the bounties are handed in at tier. Missions and passenger missions in tier, and exploration data goes into tier. Basically, tier. Over to Norma.
Federation ahead in the current CG to win the favour of the Golconda colonists. More on this later.